Our third reading is from the Gospel of John and can be found on page 1078 in the Pew Bibles, chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
It is lovely to be here, and thank you for your warm welcome. I also want to say a special word of thanks to Dave and Chris, who look after this incredible parish, and to all the lay leaders as well. So bless you all. And I speak to you, of course, in the name of our gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, the brilliant scientist Stephen Hawking died at the age of 76. Hawking was a theoretical physicist and cosmologist who was diagnosed at the age of 21 with a motor neuron disease, ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. The time he was diagnosed, he was given probably 2 years to live. But he survived, and he survived to write many works, including A Brief History of Time, and to accept many, many international famous awards. He was also the director, remember he's in a wheelchair, speaking through a computer voice. He was director of a research institute at Cambridge University. When asked about his philosophical and religious beliefs, Hawking said, "There's a fundamental difference between religion, which is based on authority, and science, which is based on observation and reason. Science will win because it works." By the year 2014, Hawking was identifying himself as an atheist. "There's no heaven," he said, "and to believe in God is simply to try to explain things prior to being able to understand them properly scientifically." I suggest to you, he knows better now. Today's gospel is also a brief history of time, but it's also about the pivotal time just prior to God in Jesus Christ offering himself as a sacrifice for humanity's salvation. This brief amount of physical time that has made all the difference to the history of creation was the 3 hours Jesus hung upon the cross, the 3 days Jesus' body spent in the garden tomb, the 40 days which people saw, spoke, and ate with the risen Christ, and finally, the ascension into heaven when Jesus returns to be with the Father. a brief history of a pivotal time. Now, there's an old gospel song I suspect some of you know, which is called, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. The song refers to that moment in time in some people's lives when they decide to turn their back on the attractions of the world and do their best to follow Jesus as one of his disciples. The words of the song are in tune, if you will, with today's gospel and the truth that at the cross, resurrection, and ascension, the history of humanity changed forever. Let's take a closer look. In John chapter 12, we might say, poetically speaking, that Jesus is standing in the shadow of the cross. Up until now, all through the Gospel of John, we have heard that such and such doesn't happen or can't happen because his time has not yet come. For example, at the wedding of Cana in Galilee in chapter 2, Jesus says to his mother Mary, "My time has not yet come." And in John 7, we hear, "My hour has not yet come." And in John 8, verse 20, we read, Jesus was not arrested because his hour had not yet come. But here in this morning's gospel, that much anticipated hour arrives. In John 12, we hear, quote, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Now, if you and I weren't familiar with the gospel of Christ, we might shiver at hearing that death is necessary. It does sound a bit ominous. And in fact, the arrival of this hour that we've heard so much about is not immediately good news even for Jesus. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem has just happened before what we heard read, and we know that some people are rejoicing and are overjoyed, but we also know that it seriously ruffled the feathers of both the religious and political leaders. This hour that we've been told repeatedly to wait, and the pressure is indeed building up, is not the crucifixion alone, but also the resurrection and the ascension. But let's never forget, you don't get to either the resurrection or ascension except by way of the cross. That's why when Jesus says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself," he is lifted up on the cross, but he's also lifted up in the resurrection, and he's certainly lifted up in the ascension. The arrival of this hour of power gives glory to God, but in a way that will result in nothing less than the agonizing death on a cross of our Savior and our salvation. Simple as that. It's a most peculiar picture for the human mind to contemplate. It can't be proved scientifically. There's no litmus test for sin or salvation. God incarnate chose to be sacrificed for the sake of us, sinful humanity. Almighty God chose to be glorified by the sacrifice of his Son. Listen again to verses 27 and 28 of John 12. "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Unlike the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of John, we don't hear Jesus pleading that this cup might pass from him. Instead, Jesus is totally focused on the Father and giving glory to the Father. In short, today's gospel is full of simple words that are theologically deep. Even when the Greeks come and ask that, "Sir, we'd like to see Jesus," or "We'd love to see Jesus," actually communicating faith, because in John, both seeing and hearing are means by which people come to know Jesus, to believe and trust in him, and to recognize the astonishing fact that the Father and the Son are one. Remember that well in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus most often says, "Come, follow me." In the Gospel of John, you're more likely to hear, "Come and see," because there is evidence that God is alive and present in this man, Jesus. The focus on Jesus' hour is almost overwhelming in the Gospel of John. And as I said, the tension of the coming hour builds and builds over the chapters. I suspect you know the expression, "bigger than Ben-Hur." It's one I rather like. And here, as the climax approaches, the story of salvation of humanity is bigger than anything we could ever imagine. It's bigger than time itself, because it breaks through time into eternity. Pretty remarkable. Now, over the next 2 weeks, you and I will be invited to walk the road to the cross with Jesus. Different Anglican churches have different ways of observing Holy Week. Some have many, many services, and some are more Spartan. Whatever your observation, I do ask you to do one thing over these next 2 weeks. Look out for someone who may be quietly open to hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, and invite that person along to church with you. Pick them up or offer to walk with them. There are many people out there who are curious and yet have no idea how to inquire about the Christian faith. There are others who really want to come and see, but they're actually shy, or they're afraid they'll come and do something wrong. So invite them to come with you, and then go out for a meal afterwards, or at least a cup of coffee, and express your own faith in Jesus Christ. Just last week, I heard an extraordinary story from another diocese. I want to emphasize it's another diocese. In one parish, and this could happen anywhere, but it really is too well known. In this one parish, there has been a raging argument for years. Very embarrassing, right? But it happens. There have been lawyers and temper tantrums, and it's just an embarrassment to the whole church. You know that's not the way to bring people to Jesus. But just to show you that the mercy and wonder of God is far greater than our temper tantrums, I'll tell you what happened. In very recent weeks, two people who are completely unrelated to each other, one a Kiwi, the other one a tourist, walked into that parish. The first one heard the service music, and the words and the music spoke to her, and she became a disciple of Christ. The second person, a tourist, came in and was so struck by the presence of God that she made inquiry, and although she was a Muslim, actually sought baptism and became a follower of Jesus. She has now gone back to an Islamic country, knowing the price she may pay for following Jesus. And that was in that parish that can't agree about anything. Just think what the potential in this parish is. Just think what God wants to do in every time we come together, two or three come together in the name of Christ. God wants to do wonderful things in our midst. Both people entered the church not knowing that their hour had come to meet the Savior of the world. Now, I don't want to insult you in any way, but I suspect, I know it's true of me, I suspect you and I don't have the brilliance or the determination of the scientist Stephen Hawking, but we are people of faith. I don't really understand the concept or history or theory of time, but what I do know is that in a discrete period of time, some 2,000 years ago, a man, Jesus, who was and is the Son of God, gave his life for me and for you on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for the gift of eternal life. And for that hour, I give thanks to God forever and ever. Amen.